Hey kids, before we get started with today's awesome cast, no, it's not a podcast, it's an awesome cast. I just want to let you know that 2 is the new 1, 3 is the new 2, and 4 is the new 3. What I'm really getting at is, you're about to hear the first ever episode of the Son of Cheese Half Hour Power Hour. However, in the episode we actually say it's the second episode. Well, it's not, it's the first episode, because the real first episode, yeah, sucked so bad we had to scrap it. But things like that happen. 2 is the new 1, just remember that. Anyhow, let's get on with the show. Hey, kids!
Hey, kids. How's it going, huh?
This is Derek Knight, sonofcheese.com. This is the Son of Cheese Half Hour Power Hour. Only the second episode. It's the second week of the big podcast. So if you've stuck with us this long, thanks. Keep it up. With me, as always, is Colin Burton of fizzleandpop.com.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, everybody. And, of course, special guest in studio for the second week in a row, Colin's brother, Trevor.
Yeah, and I still haven't gotten my check.
Yeah. Keep waiting, pal. Today, you know, one of the problems, one of the unique problems with doing an awesome cast such as this one is that since we're recording these well in advance of when we're going to be unleashing them upon an unsuspecting public, the problem is that we can't be current.
Yeah, that is a problem.
Yeah, that is a problem. We could utilize the next half hour or so to talk about the day's news or sports, but of course it would be so out of date by the time you'd hear it, it'd just make us look even sillier than normal.
As if that's possible. Make fun of my speech impediments. Thanks.
But one of the things that we were talking about was the time that obedient, mild-mannered little Colin found himself in the position to run like hell from the cops like a common criminal. And as it turns out, this happened more than once.
The more I think about it, it happened 3 times.
You damn dirty ape.
But in my defense, I was a teenager, and it was with the same person that I was hanging out with at all 3 incidences occurred.
Now, you can go ahead and say that whomever this was a bad influence on you, but you know, you ultimately had to run from the cops regardless of who you were with.
Right, but I mean, at least one of the times had to do with something of his that I didn't own, so if he wasn't with me, it wouldn't have happened.
You gotta elaborate on that.
I will. Give me time, man.
Give me space, Pikas. I'm ready to talk.
Yeah. The statute of limitations has run out, and it's time
to
talk.
That's why I'm going to take this opportunity right now to say that not only have I never done anything illegal, but maybe in 5 years I'll tell you about what I've never done illegally.
5 years?
I'm thinking statute of limitations is 15, 20 years, right?
Well, it depends on what you did. It depends on what crimes you broke.
Never tell.
If you killed somebody, I don't think it ever runs out.
Yeah, but
I don't kill. Anyway, yeah, this is about Colin being a dirty, dirty criminal, and so we should take this in chronological order. How young were you the first time you had to run from El Policia?
Well, I was this would still all be around the same time. It was when I was going to junior high at East Junior High here in Colorado Springs, and I lived nearby, so I would say I was about 13 or 14.
That's a good running from the cops age.
Yeah.
Now, you were obviously a very athletic child.
Oh, yeah. I love sports.
Love the sports so much.
It's been hard to live in Colin's shadow, sports-wise.
Yeah. My brother's the sport person. I've never really been into sports. No, so the running from the cops was unique and not something I'd like to repeat too often.
So usually you're into things like sci-fi, right?
Right.
And in sci-fi, just being a sci-fi kid in general, you don't have to run from the cops much.
Not usually, no.
So what changed for you?
Oh, bad home life for the most part of that time.
I blame society for this one.
A couple of creative people getting together with not much better to do and causing mischief.
Now, since you're going to blame this person for all of your misgivings, who is the person that you were running from the cops with?
Well, you see, that's the funny part. I don't really remember his name.
So he was really a good friend then?
Well, no. Well, okay. Yeah, well, yes, actually, he was a really good friend, but we didn't stay in touch. I moved around a lot. No, so
it's probably for the best. You might be in jail by now if you had.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Well, I was in the Air Force, so they could have caught me then,
I guess,
if they wanted to.
Right. Anyway, your proud service to our country aside,
right,
I want to talk about you being a dirty criminal.
Okay.
First episode being Age of 13, you're running from the cops. You're hanging out with somebody whose name... I've never seen him before in my life,
well,
officer.
Okay.
I don't know his name.
Well, I know his last name was McCartney.
McCartney. That's a terrible, terrible last name. Well, terrible. Nothing good can come from McCartney.
And he was an albino.
Mm-hmm. I knew an albino when I was in school named John Simonic. You know, the most well-behaved person. Of course, that probably, you know, had something to do with the fact that he was legally blind.
I'm not saying his albinoism made him a bad person.
I don't know. Have you seen the Da Vinci Code yet?
Yes, I have. And that didn't make him a bad person either. That was his upbringing. So.
Oh, sure. Yes, let's blame society on this one. Okay, so you're hanging out with an albino miscreant, last name McCartney.
Right.
First name, we don't know. Your age of 13, and you have a bad home life. Just hope your mom ain't listening to this.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure she will be, but she knows. She knows back then what things were like. I mean, she was there.
You screwed me up so bad.
No, I made it okay. Like you pointed out, I haven't been in jail, so I'm doing good.
So what happened exactly?
Well, the first time, we were hanging out, and he had a shortwave walkie-talkie type thing.
Hmm.
And we made the discovery that if you aim it at the telephone lines, you could pick up telephone conversations.
Awesome.
Indeed. So we were walking along the alley one time, aiming it at the telephone lines, and we noticed a cop car was following us. So we took off running, and we jumped into his backyard. Cop caught up to us, let us know that he knew where we went, informed us that we had better stop what we were doing.
That's
and
it.
So, well, yeah, that's it. What do you want?
that's a little weak.
Yeah, I would actually.
You asked how many times I ran from the cops. I mean, I ran from the
ran
cops.
Ran from you? Yes, I guess.
I'm not
that,
saying I. Nobody died.
Damn it! But yeah, that is true. This story does fulfill that minimum requirement of Colin running from the cops. But I was hoping for something a little bit more climactic. So essentially, what you were doing is you were listening to people ordering pizza.
No, not back then. It was. I mean, we're talking over 20 years. I don't remember the details of the conversation.
Delivery pizza did not exist 20 years ago.
Well, it did, actually, and they had to hold to their 30 minutes or less policy.
That's right, goddammit, till too many people died.
But, yeah.
I will get you this pizza if it means my life.
Well, apparently back then the police frowned on people listening to other people's conversations.
Guess what?
Unlike now.
They still do.
Unless it's the NSA, yes.
Well, but the NSA is here to keep us safe.
I know.
By listening to me talk to nobody about nothing, essentially.
Well, exactly.
I dare them to listen to my conversations. They will get so bored. Plus, they will be hoping against hope that something happens. Anyway. So Colin's going around with a little radio, and he's listening to people's conversations. Runs from the cops. Cop catches up to him, gives him a little scare. Just
right.
Kids.
To try
know,
to try to get us in line.
Around. He, yeah. You know, he's just a little jab, little say, stop it.
Exactly. And so we stopped doing that, and we moved on to doing some other things.
So, it's like, well, that didn't work. And so the second time, you say three big times you ran from the cops. We found out the first big one.
Right.
Slightly anticlimactic.
Do they get better as you go along? More danger, that sort of thing?
Intrigue.
I would say so. Okay.
All right. Second one.
Now, in that area, there is a golf course. I'm sure you're familiar with it. Down around East Junior High.
Where exactly is East Junior High? Cross Streets.
Well,
cross
it's
streets.
The same one that we had the Christmas party at.
Oh.
Patty Jewett.
Patty Jewett Golf Course. Actually the oldest golf course, I believe, oldest public course west of the Mississippi, just as a point of interest.
Well, that is very interesting. Thank you very much. I'll be sure to remember that. So anyway, there was a little swampish area kind of off behind the school that was on the Patty Jewett's property, and it led to a drainage ditch that led under the street, Union, I believe. And McCartney had a wrist rocket. Are you familiar with wrist rockets? High-powered slingshots.
I am now.
Like really high-powered slingshots. Very, very handy for shooting out streetlights and such.
Obviously, no delinquent should be caught without a wrist rocket.
Exactly, or caught with it.
Well, another point of interest is that they actually still do sell these at Walmart for a very reasonable price, I will say.
So all you delinquents listening to the big awesome cast here today, run out and grab yourself a wrist rocket, and just like Colin said, shoot out a couple streetlights.
Yeah, well, that's one thing you could do with it, or you could do what we did, which was go through the drainage ditch under the street, come up into the sewer, well, not sewer, the, shut up, man, come up into the drainage area where you could see out into the street through
the little
hole.
Slot
yeah.
Where the CIA killed Kennedy from.
Sure, exactly. And you could reenact that by shooting passing cars with a wrist rocket. And
wow. Now that is something else.
That is something else. And what's even more incredible is when it was late afternoon, apparently somebody complained to the police about that
getting smacked real hard. With
yeah,
a rock.
And these things do shoot pretty hard. And basically, one of the cars we hit was a passing cop car.
Oh, way to go! Yeah, you know, that's one of the things. I mean, I know you have a very limited field of vision, but you do have to be slightly selective, don't you? Or is it just like, here it comes, go?
Well, yeah, you got to remember, the cars are passing at least 35 miles per hour on the street. And you don't have a very big window to see them coming. So, mm-hmm. And you don't want to be seen.
So odds are, in this case, you're going to hit a cop car or two. If you're committed
yes.
to delinquency for a period of, how long were you down there?
Oh, it couldn't have been more than a half hour.
Yeah, but if you're committed to delinquency for a period of 1/2 hour or more, likely chance, you know, just playing the odds, you're going to hit a cop car.
Especially if somebody called them out, yes.
Right.
I would certainly consider that.
Oh, so this was a cop car that had been called to the location and got hit.
That was our speculation. Because
somebody's hitting cars with rocks. Here comes a cop car. Wham! Well, geez, I guess so. I mean, that kind of confirms that, right, real quick.
Yeah, I suppose it does.
You got to remember. Your chances of getting caught. That's
true.
Like me standing up on the roof shooting people, and here comes the cop, I shoot him.
Ah, but.
Just like a scene from Grand Theft Auto.
But here's the thing. They didn't know where it was coming from.
Right.
And as soon as we knew it was a...
Neither did Kennedy. Bam!
Agreed. So as soon as we realized that it was a cop car we hit, because he did screech to a halt, we took off up the tunnel.
Well, sure. Well, you're in actually a great position at that point. I was like one way out.
Well, actually, yeah. We didn't know. We'd explored the tunnel somewhat. But
we could live in here. We could live in here forever. They'll never find us. The only person to find is that damn homeless guy that pisses in the corner and sleeps to the other side.
Okay. Look at you letting me tell my story. So anyway, yeah.
No, it says right here. It says right here. Colin takes story. I heckle.
Oh.
I'm doing my part.
Oh, well, you're doing it admirably.
That's right.
So basically, yeah, we came somewhat prepared. We had one flashlight. He had it. I'm thinking his name might have been John. So,
there's a lot of those out there. Yeah. John McCartney. John
sure.
McCartney, if you're listening, Colin hates you.
I got to think that he's not going to be too hard to track down because we have his name and he's an albino. So.
That's right. He's probably got a nickname Whitey, El Blanco.
That's hard to say.
Yeah, or pasty.
So he had the flashlight.
Right.
Was running up the sewer. I was trying to keep up.
You should have had the flashlight. Shining it on him, it would have reflected all over the tunnel. What's he got the flashlight for, damn it? What's he need
it
for?
It was his flashlight. It was his wrist rocket. I just kind of brought my aim. That was all I had
there. Albinos can see in the dark.
No. So anyway, we ran up the tunnel, and not knowing where it would eventually lead. And this was also, you know, probably during rainy season, because I remember there being water in it. We eventually found a branching tunnel that led upward, and we crawled out through another drainage area.
And you made it out safe?
Oh, we made it out safe,
you didn't
and we
get
also
caught?
No
you get nailed.
No,
none
of these times I get nailed, not that I recall. No.
Damn. So,
but I did see the cops looking for us, and we slipped away. By that point, it was kind of dark. So
that was kind of like, hey, coppers, yeah, you never catch me.
Yeah, no, it's more like run quietly.
run quietly, white boy, run.
Did you feel compelled to return to the scene of your crime?
Because you know, murderers do that. Murderers, rapists, they all return to the scene of the crime. If you believe all the cop shows, and I do, I believe CSI implicitly. I know that they have all the technology.
No. By that point, we pretty much gave up on the wrist rocket. And
in fact,
we moved on to the third thing.
In fact. If this was a CSI TV show, they'd get there and be like, an albino was here. You smell that? That's albino. So you get away this time as well.
Yeah. Well, actually,
you live to...
I will say that I got away every time.
I'm slippery, boys. You never catch me.
Yeah, I never did get caught at that.
So I've only heard one tale. One tale.
Right, and that's the final tale.
This would be, of course, the third... story we're about to hear. And this one, if you have read fizzleandpop.com, and who hasn't, you would have probably read this. It's been a couple of years, year maybe or more, that you posted about
probably
the final tale of you being just a dirty, 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 dirty criminal.
Right.
Yeah. With nothing better to do and a bad home life. And what else? What else? What,
oh,
what other
you know, teenage angst.
Teenage
and,
angst. Oh,
yeah,
that's right, because there's...
Anger against the establishment. And,
sure, rage against the machine. Man.
Yeah. Yeah. That.
Yeah. I never had that.
Yeah, well,
yeah.
You just set your bed on fire. That's all you did.
I did. Ooh, that's, yeah. You know, and before we get to Colin's story, I have to say that as a kid, I was totally fascinated by a number of things, fire being one of them.
As a kid?
Yeah.
You're saying you outgrew this. Because I know you haven't.
I'm not completely fascinated by fire now. I mean, do I have fire in my hands? No. I mean, am I controlling the fire?
Not at this moment, no.
No, I'm mellowed out. I am 32 years of age. I don't necessarily need fire all the time now. It's a little hot in here. I don't need fire. I don't need it.
I agree.
I do like things that blow up. I will admit that explosions are fun, and if I could blow things up on a daily basis, I'd do it. But yeah, when I was a kid, I was completely fascinated by fire, and one of the things that I used to do, of course, is very dangerous. Don't try this at home, kids. Is I would find anything flammable in an aerosol can, and my dad smoked for a long time, and then he just quit one day. Camels were his brand. He smoked for a long time and then he quit. But there was always a lighter or matches in the house. So that was great for me because, you know, my mom's working, my dad's working. I go find some fire. And I would take the aerosol cans of flammable material. Aquanet works very well.
Mm-hmm.
But spray paint will do in a pinch. And do the whole, you know, make little fireballs. And because I didn't want to get caught, I would do this in the garage. All closed up. And I would get really good at timing the flame. Once you see it backing up into the aerosol can, you got to stop.
Because you don't got to, but it's definitely a good idea.
It's advisable to stop in that situation because it could explode. But I got really good at it. And, I mean, I got to where I could throw fireballs from my hand with various things. Mm-hmm. And I lit my hand on fire one time with lighter fluid just kind of as a joke. flaming hand.
Clown's got nothing on
clown's
you.
Clown's got nothing on me, baby. Yeah, fire! But no, I didn't get burned by that. Yeah, I liked fire pretty well. But what? And the thing, setting my bed on fire, and since we've already said setting my bed on fire, I've kind of screwed up the climax of the story. But it wasn't playing with fire that led to the beds being set on fire. I was looking under my bed for stuff, and I couldn't find a flashlight. So I grabbed the next best thing, fire.
And an aerosol can.
No aerosol can. No aerosol can, just the lighter. And what happened was it was an old crappy twin bunk bed that was broken down into the non-bunk bed. It was on the floor. And it had this really weird box spring. It was only about an inch and a half thick. And it had this like cotton batting on the underside. And so in the process of looking under my bed for whatever I was looking for, I can't quite remember now. I know that might be important to the story, but I don't remember.
Porn.
Yeah, exactly, because I had porn in the house when I was, like, 12. I mean, I know you had a bad upbringing, man, but... I lost track of where the fire was. It got too close to that cotton batting. And let me tell you, that shit goes up quick. It started spreading out from the...
I mean...
Just spreading quick. Oh, Jesus! I'm running around the room like it's the motherfucking apocalypse,
right.
And I couldn't find anything to put the fire out with. So I remember grabbing a canteen, and it wasn't full. I just used the canteen to pat out all the flames and then had to air my room out for hours and, you know, like drop cloves in the corner, hope to cover up the smell. And I never did get caught. I cut off the burnt parts and never really got caught for that.
Yeah.
So,
of course, they know about it now.
Oh, well, yeah. What are they going to do to me? I'm 32 years old. Go ahead, ground me. I can't make it to work, sir. I'm grounded. But this is not about me and my...
Pyromania.
And the fact that I am the god of hellfire. Hi, god of hellfire. Anyway, it's about you running from the cops.
Right. So, yeah, the final time, same person. We hated... my neighbor, really bad.
We hated everybody.
Well, yes. we hated my neighbor.
We were a cult of two.
Yes. She was quite unpleasant. So I came up with a way of making her life hell, which was to flatten all four of her tires.
That would suck. Hey, I can't go to the store now. I bet that was that damn albino boy.
Yes, but... we didn't do it by slashing them. That can actually be pretty dangerous. You can have the knife kick back into you.
That's true. You have to actually... Kids, don't try this at home, but as a point of reference, you have to put the knife in and then quickly down. Otherwise, it will pop back out, stab you, and kill you. Stab you dead.
And it makes getting away very hard.
Yeah. Try get away from that. CSI will have you in a heartbeat, pal. There was a bleeding albino here.
Yeah. But... okay, so we... and. You know, even though you're portraying me as this little bastard.
Deviant.
Yes. I actually did care about people's property. I didn't want to damage her tires.
Oh, of course.
No matter how much I hated her. No.
Right. Because sitting deflated on the rims won't damage them at all.
Not if she doesn't leave them that way.
You know, denting cars and all that, that's not damaging
God
property.
God forbid property damage.
Well, fair's fair. That was his idea, not mine. It was his wrist. The one-armed albino with a wrist rocket.
One arm? Maybe. He had one arm?
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
How do you, what?
He pulled it with his teeth.
Yeah. Whole story.
When you tell
apart.
The story, albino, deviant, one arm. Anyway, go ahead. So you hated your neighbor and wanted to flatten her tires.
Right.
This you figured was the coup de grace of how to make her life hell.
Well, no, actually the coup de grace is the way that we did it because we figured it would be a little hard to detect how we did it. Well, exactly. I mean, she would think her tires have been cut. They haven't been cut.
That's just semantics. When the cops come, did you slash your tires? No. Was that your whole alibi? Was that your? Was that
well, actually,
you'd get away with it?
No, the idea was not be caught at all. But so what? Duh. All we did was, you know, the special caps that have the thing that allow you to remove the stem from a tire, an inner tube. No. Yes.
No.
They have a little slot in the top.
I've never had one of those.
I found one in the road, and we were trying to figure out what it was, and that's where this whole idea came from to do this. What it does is it'll remove the stem, but we remove it only part way, so the stem is still in there, but it's leaking. And over the course of the night, tires go flat. So that's what we did. And then it was so fun that one time.
I get it. So you got the Jones.
We got the air leaking Jones. Yeah, so
did.
A couple nights later, we met up and went around the neighborhood doing that to random cars, which I really
this,
do feel.
This albino was trouble.
He was. It's probably a good thing I moved away. Yes. So then that leads to the last time we were caught by the cops. Apparently somebody called them.
Yeah. Oh, gee. I wonder why.
I don't know. We were dressed in dark clothing. So, we shouldn't have been seen.
Well, he's an albino.
Yeah. I mean, an albino ninja.
But the moon wasn't out.
An albino ninja can be seen. I'm sorry.
So you're saying my biggest mistake was in
hanging
my
out
choice
with an
of,
albino. Yeah.
Yes.
When you're picking your accomplices, pick darker.
Well, fortunately, I've given up my life of crime, so that really won't enter into
so
it.
So I can hang out with albinos all I want.
Exactly. Yeah, so that actually led to an actual running from the police, where the police were running after us.
And the police knew where you were, at least briefly.
Briefly, yeah.
There was a foot chase ensued.
There was a foot chase, and we were among apartments that had entryways that were usually locked, so we had no place to really go.
So these
for
weren't
the most
these weren't has the, what they call breezeways. This was like a secured building.
Yes, secured buildings, and we were running from building to building, trying to find a way into one of them. We finally found one that wasn't locked, slipped inside, ducked down, and hung out there for about an hour and a half until we were pretty sure the police were gone. And that was, yeah, that was probably the last thing that I did where the police would have been really annoyed with me. So I think I learned my lesson after that.
I think they would have been more than just a little annoyed.
I'm downplaying it, okay?
I'm playing it slow.
Let's just say I did learn my lesson without having to actually go to juvenile
hall,
yeah.
Zeb Pike.
Yeah, that's
they call it Zeb Pike here, kids.
Yes,
it's the Zeb Pike Juvenile Detention Center. And it's actually just about a mile, less than a mile from where Colin and I work now. And what's also less than a mile is we toss the small ones. It's the mental health facility that Colin loves to make fun of.
I don't love to make fun of it. I made fun of it once.
Wonder if that albino's there.
I don't know. I don't know where he is.
At which one, though, you ask?
Now, I do remember, actually, I think he was from Michigan, so that might help track him down even further. He originally was from Michigan.
McCartney from Michigan, and he's albino.
Possibly John McCartney.
John Whitey McCartney.
Hmm.
John
Indeed.
Blanco Nino McCartney.
I think you're breaking a lot of rules of juvenile delinquency by giving up your accomplice. Even now, you gotta keep him in.
He's gone straight, though, you see.
That's
and,
right.
And when you go straight, you turn stooly. Stool pigeon.
And it was also 25 years ago, like I said, so.
25 years?
25.
Jesus,
I'm
how
old
are you?
38.
38 years of age.
You should have been able to do that math.
Sorry.
Public school.
Whitefield. Yep. Yesterday I could not spell graduate. Today I are one. Thank you, Whitefield.
So there you go. Those are the three occasions that I can think of off the top of my head where I had to run from the police.
And yet, when you got to the Air Force, all this running from the cops didn't do you any good because you couldn't pass the mile run.
Well, I didn't have to run from them for a mile. I could lose them in under a mile.
Ah, that's right. I forgot. I'm slippery. You never catch me, coppers. I'm slippery.
Yeah. I'd say growing up, probably that was the most fun I had. Not so much the running from the cop, but hanging out with...
destroying property and hanging out with that white kid.
Well, yeah, the white kid was actually a lot of fun. We found our first almost dead body together.
We got there, it was kind of like Stand By Me, except the kid had just been hit by the train and he was mumbling something to us.
Please, Rosebud.
Help me, albino. What do you mean mostly dead body?
Okay, well, he wasn't mostly dead. We thought for certain he was dead.
He was just drunk.
He was, we're not even sure about that. He was in his car, and this was in the lot of, God, what the hell were they originally? Basically, around the same area as the drainage ditch where, you know, there's...
Over by the golf course.
Yeah, it had also eventually turned into a youth center area. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Oh, the Kmart, yeah.
Oh, well, the shopping center over off of Union. Yeah, the one that's
pretty much always vacant.
Over by the bowling alley. Across the street from East.
Yeah, well, that's also where we were shooting out the lights, those, because they were gone. They didn't care. But
of course they didn't care.
Of course not.
You don't need those lights. You're not there.
But on another occasion, we found this old car just kind of sitting out there, and we were poking around, and there was somebody in it that looked dead. He was just laying there totally dead. We were knocking on the windows and trying to get his attention, halfway debating calling the cops, which, you know, for us
would have been. Of course, yeah. They probably would have arrested you.
Possibly. So, anyway, and so, eventually...
So, yeah, we shot out his windows and it let the air out of his tires, and then the fucker woke up.
Well, not exactly. But, yeah, he did wake up and scare the absolute crap out of us.
Zombie!
And he drove off. I guess he figured that was an okay place to sleep. I don't know.
And, yeah, here come two idiot kids, and damn it, it's an albino! I can't get away from that albino kid. He keeps knocking on my windows. Damn it. So instead of, you know, again, another anticlimactic story, we found a dead body. Oh, wait, he's just sleeping.
Would you have liked us to make him dead to make your story better?
Yes.
Well, sorry. Didn't do that.
Damn it.
I know. But it was interesting times, so.
Good times.
Yes.
Say that. Ah, good times.
Ah, good times.
That's better. Okay, well, there you have it, kids. Colin ran from the cops three times in his life. He had an albino accomplice, McCartney, the albino from Michigan. So if anybody, if you know, that would be awesome if he's listening. But the odds
what
of that.
The odds?
Yeah, what are the odds? The odds are poor because nobody's listening, probably.
Mm.
I mean, I'll listen to it when I produce it.
But you've already heard the stories and you don't know him.
That's right. But how hard would it be?
Let's
try this. McCartney the albino. Put that into Google and see what you come up with. Albino McCartney. Whitey McCartney.
Right.
See what Whitey McCartney comes up with. But anyway, there you go. Colin and his big-time stories of delinquency and running from the cops on the Son of Chief's half-hour power hour. I'm Derek Knight. Colin Burton with me. Trevor Davis, special guest in studio. Thanks for listening to the second ever Son of Chief's half-hour power hour awesome cast. We'll be back again next Wednesday with hopefully more harrowing tales of Colin's juvenile delinquency and poor home life. See you next time, kids.